Om Shanti. So this afternoon we're looking at invoking the powers fearlessly and effectively, yes? When you took the 7 days course, you presumably, on one of the days, learned about the eight powers, right? And you thought, that's not such a big power, right? Power to tolerate, yeah, no problem. Power to cooperate, I'm a cooperative soul. Power to judge, well, we shouldn't be judgmental, but okay. You know, you must have thought something like that, is that right? Power to withdraw, do we need that? Power to pack up, I know how to pack my suitcase. What's that? So I think usually when people begin the process of Raj Yoga and you're presented with these eight powers, you don't pay that much attention to them. Is this true? Yeah? But after a long time of being assaulted by Maya, you begin to consider whether they might just be a bit of useful weaponry. Is that the case? And then you say, well, I don't really understand what these powers are. Of course, as soon as we come into Gyan, you place yourself sandwich-wise in between the two pieces of toast. One is Baba and the other is Maya. Is that right? And you're in between lunch. So now, what you need is to be able to draw all that light and power and so on from Baba into yourself to neutralize all the efforts that Maya is making to get you to give up, or be afraid, or get confused, or it's too hard, it's too slow, the process of change. Something like this. Have you experienced that? Yes? You're not very responsive. Okay. So, I wanted to really address this, that here we are now, we are in the almost last, or just before the last program of Bap Dada, which is day after tomorrow. And let's see what it is to be at the end of the season and then what's next. So one thing that we're observing at this time is that time is going more and more fast. Can you feel that? And it's basically going too fast, yeah? So it's a bit difficult to, you know, I don't know if you've driven a car way beyond the speed limit. Have you done that? Of course you're not going to say. But it gets a little shaky when it goes much too fast. And I think that sometimes, unless you're very grounded in your spiritual practice, when the speed of time gets really fast, it puts you in a bit more of a shaky stage. And then you start thinking whether you can manage this roller coaster ride. Have you been on a roller coaster? Yeah. So this Gyan path is like that. Little up, little down, little sometimes stuck in between. But it's constantly changing. And of course, one of the really big powers, which is not part of the eight, but a really big power to add to those eight, is the power of the knowledge of drama. Applying the knowledge of drama is very, very important, because drama knowledge is very subtle, and it is It is an instrument, the knowledge of drama, an instrument that enables a BK to be stable and steady under any circumstances, so that you're able to observe a situation, bring the right power into it. This is drama, let it go, and be ready for the next second, which will bring another situation. So the acceleration of time, the feeling that time is going faster, is because the challenging situations are coming more quickly, more frequently. And that causes you to experience that time is going too fast. You don't have time to reset yourself or to kind of rearrange your mind in between things. You have to really be fast. And one of the expressions that Baba has given us is Tivra Purusharat, which is usually translated as intense effort, right? You know this one, to be an intense effort maker. But in fact, the word Tivra actually means fast, not intense. But I think probably those who began to see, now how do we put this concept into English, maybe not had the thought about what could possibly be a fast effort maker. So an intense effort sounds better, right? So it became intense effort. But I think it is actually fast effort, because you need to make the effort to move from one position to another, to another, to another, very rapidly. So, you know, people who are professional sportsmen, any sport pretty much, the one thing they have to be is fast on their feet and fast in their heads. Because when you're doing a very expert sporting activities, if you're slow, it won't work. If you are an acrobat in the circus, you have to be very precise and very fast. And we BKs are all actors on the stage of drama, and we have circumstances and situations coming to us pretty much, you know, like this, very fast, almost like machine gun bullets coming very fast. There's so many wars going on that we start to use the analogy of weapons, because that's what we hear about these days, but machine gun bullets come out really quickly, and, you know, or raindrops. Have you ever tried, you know, moving in between raindrops? Very difficult. They come thick and fast. So circumstances come thick and fast, and you have to position yourself, deal with it, reset yourself, reposition, deal with it, reset, reposition, you see, like that. When you are spinning the cycle of the five forms, I presume you're still doing that. Do you still try that? Yeah? Spinning the five forms, each one of those forms is a perfect form. And you have to go really fast from point to deity, to worship-worthy, to, you know, Brahman, to angel, to point, like this. Fast, fast, fast. Do you do that? Or do you do slow, 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 slow? No. You can start slow, but you have to go fast, because spinning is not done slowly. Have you ever tried to spin a top slowly? It won't hold up. It has to go fast to hold up. And so I think that what Baba is doing is putting us under pressure. Do you feel under pressure? Yes? It's supposed to be like that. We have a lot of classes called Stress-Free BK Life. But actually, I think we have increasingly stressful BK life because of the way circumstances are coming to face us at a more and more rapid frequency, which is stressful. And so I think that we need to be peaceful but not overly relaxed. Is that okay? So that we are, you know, positioned to be ready to handle this thing, that thing, the other thing. Now, of course, all of you, as everyone in BK experiences, that you all have your particular strengths and your particular weaknesses. So you must have done some SWOT analysis. Have you done that? Your strengths, your weakness, etc., so that you can understand what's going on. Now, you must have also experienced that exactly where you happen to be located, your service place, is exactly precisely got the people in there that are the most provocative of difficulties for you. Is that right? Yes. It's supposed to be like that. Because we would not be able to reach the level that Baba wants us to reach without that. And so he specially selects the exact people who are the most problematic for us. You know? And then you see you have to figure out what power you need to manage these particular individuals who interact with you in such a way as to mess you up. Yes? And so you have to find the right power in the right angle, the right intensity to manage their wonderful efforts. And in this way, you become very skilled in the use of that power. Yeah? Have you experienced this? No? Yes? You're not responsive. This is interactive class. No, because, you see, the thing is, one of the things I have found in our BK life is that we need to discriminate and distinguish between how we think people want us to be and how Baba tells us to be, because those two are very, very different things. Have you noticed that? So, a lot of BKs hear from other BKs that you should be like this and you should be like that and you should handle it this way, that way, the other way, yeah? And then you look in the Murali and see, well, what does Baba say about that? And he says it rather differently. For example, he says, okay, it's very systematic, the Gyan. What you have to do in order to be a successful BK, a successful yogi, is you have to have virtues. Yeah? And what a lot of BKs do is they make no distinction between virtues, values, morals, ethics. It's all the same thing, right? Yes or no? Yes? It's not. Because I tell you why. You know, Baba tells us that there are three kinds of mat. There's Srimat, which we're supposed to follow. Then there's Paramat, which we should not follow. And then there's Manmat, which we should also not follow. And so the way that you hear the description of these three kind of mat. So Srimat is called Baba's directions. And then Paramat is called other people's directions. And Manmat is called the directions of your own mind. And with those expressions, I think you can't really figure out what this stuff is that Baba's referring to. Now, Srimat is quite simple. It is, consider yourself to be a soul and remember Baba and be pure and spin the cycle. That's basically it, Srimat. Just those four things. So that's pretty easy. Now, other people's directions, that's much more difficult. So, the way I look at it is the prevailing social attitudes that surround you wherever you happen to be, in your country or your culture or your religion or your social class or whatever it happens to be. Because all these people surrounding you in all those areas, they are giving you messages about how you should be. And basically that is the values, morals and ethics of that particular community. And all of these things, they originate in the human mind. Whereas Srimat originates in Sri Baba's mind. And then Manmat, what is that? Manmat is, the way I look at it, it is that all of these things that you have learned from your childhood and all about how to be a good girl or a good boy, you know, and then you internalize these ideas and that then becomes Manmat. You see. So all of you are very moral people, is that right? Is there anybody here who's not moral? Put your hands up. It's a bit difficult to come in BK and not be moral. Because we're always talking about good things, good qualities. But, you see, these morals, they originate in the people that surround you. And there are many areas where conventional morality, ethics, values, and Srimat, they coincide. For example, do not give sorrow. They all agree you should not give sorrow. Is that right? Yes? Anybody heard that it's moral to give sorrow? No. Now, Baba goes further than that, and he says, do not take sorrow. Is that right? Now, moral people don't do that. They take sorrow. You see. So, when you're being moral in the area of taking sorrow, then you're against Srimat. And why you're doing it is because of Manmat, you see. So, it's a bit tricky because we're going to have to, in this area in particular, give up being moral. Because if you don't, you won't be able to prevent yourself from taking sorrow, and then you'll be going against Baba's direction of not taking sorrow. And then you will say, oh, but I can't do that. Why can't you do that? I don't have the power. So you see, this is where the powers come in. Do you understand where I'm going with this? So, this is why we have to really look at the powers in terms of fulfilling Baba's direction of not taking sorrow, because everyone finds themselves in various different moments of the day or night where a wave of sorrow comes along. Have you experienced this? Yeah? From out of nowhere, a wave of sorrow comes and all of a sudden you're in sorrow. Now, you have to be really fast and catch that wave before it hits you with a power. Because if you don't, then you will get, you know, taken over by that wave. You'll go into sorrow, you'll be going against Srimat, you'll be losing all your spiritual power, and then you'll be sort of flat on the floor and have to start again from that position. Do you see? And I think what Baba is telling us is fearlessly apply the power quickly enough before that wave comes to you and deal with it so that it never hits you. You never go into it. You don't have to pull yourself out of it. This is the level of Raj Yoga that we need to be on at this time. What do you think? Yes, you like it? Let me hear from you. Okay, we've got quite a few who would not like to be at that level, but I would recommend it. because, you see, at this time, what's happening, we are observing, is that there's a lot of karmic accounts getting settled quickly, 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 yes? And then, oh, what do I do? You get sick. When you get sick, you get pain. So, what do you do with pain? You have to have power of tolerance. Daddy Janki has unlimited power of tolerance. She has heavy-duty pain. She handles it. You see? And you have to have power of accommodation to accommodate it, because you still be in pain and still have a good smile on your face and not mind about it. Yes? Can you do that? So you have to fearlessly call upon the power of tolerance, be here. Because if you don't call upon it as the pain arises, you won't be able to manage it. You see? Or you may get some pain in terms of you've taken emotional pain from something somebody said or didn't say, or something they did or didn't do, and then you're finished because all your Raj Yoga disappeared into a textbook or a notebook. So we have to be practical Raj Yogis, which means if we have not acquired skill in the use of these powers and in interpreting what all these words mean, then we are not going to be able to operate on a level which makes us feel satisfied with how we are doing as a Raj Yogi. So you want to feel satisfied, and these karmic accounts of different types, they are rolling in because, you know, the moment of our flight to Paramdham is coming along fairly soon. And whenever we see, sitting on the stage, you always see lots and lots of BKs in front. If you're in Diamond Hall, you see thousands and thousands of BKs. And they resemble the birds who are getting ready for their migration. And I think that this is quite a good analogy for all of us, because what those birds do is they practice, because they have to fly very far, they have to be very strong, and they have to be organized among themselves, because if they go by themselves, they don't have enough strength. So we also only have enough strength to do this, what Baba wants us to do, if we do it together. So the unity among BKs is actually very necessary for this migration to Paramdham and then re-landing in the Golden Age. That can only work effectively if we are united. And so Maya says, well, that's very simple. It's so easy to divide the BKs against each other. That's really simple because everybody has different opinion. Everybody has a little bit ego here and there, you know. And the main thing is taking sorrow comes easy. Because being very moral people, we're relatively careful not to give sorrow, at least not on purpose. Sometimes we do it by mistake. But we have very little practice in not taking sorrow because we're actually more dedicated and loyal to our morality than to Srimat, because so many people think morality, Srimat, same thing. Now, if you start thinking of it as complementary in some instances, but in many instances, very important instances, it is in opposition. Especially in the area of not taking sorrow. Then, of course, detachment. People say, oh, I'm detached. It's not detachment. To be detached, you have to have a lot of power because you have to feel the thing completely and fully and not be swayed by it, not mind about it, you see? So usually what people mean by detachment is they just check out. They avoid. They don't feel it. No, I'm detached. Not detached at all. You're checked out. It's different. And this is why Baba says, detached and loving. So not only is it a balance of detachment and loving, but you have to be able to, you know, for example, somebody is insulting you. We're very sensitive, so we get insulted easily. We have massive egos. So the practice is to be able to feel the intensity of that ego reaction and be absolutely neutral about it so that your love for the person, the actor, the brother or sister actor, your love doesn't diminish even a little bit. And with your power, you handle the burning sensation of the insult without it coming even as a flicker in your facial expression. That is detachment. Understand? And so you can't do that if you don't have a huge amount of power of accommodation and power of love. Because that way it breaks the unity amongst BKs, you see, because we're all very different. It's like we're all in the Noah's Ark. It's not they had different animals in the Noah's Ark, but this is really the Noah's Ark. We have all these different kinds of people, and we're all former Indian deities, but that was a long time ago. And so we have diverged. And now we have to converge so that we become absolutely harmonized with each other. And this is also one of Baba's directions, is harmonize with each other. So Baba will put the most disharmonious people together and say, okay, now harmonize. So you have to be a kind of piano tuner trying to get all of these different strings to harmonize with each other, you see. And so that's a lot of work. So you have to be stretched and this type of thing to get tuned up. And this is why Baba tells us that it's very important for us to have yoga. And he tells us that the powers come through yoga, you see. So it's not that you sit in yoga and you say, okay, I'll get a bit of tolerance and a bit of accommodation, but, you know, it doesn't come like that. You have to do yoga over a long period of time so that it's accumulated. And as being an accumulating yogi, then you go as an actor into some or another situation, which includes also some settlement of karma. If it's not a settlement of karma, it'll be a test. Either way, it's difficult. And then you have to observe the situation as a really good actor and discern what power is needed for me to get through to the other side of this situation and come out smelling like a rose with flying colors and get a grade from Baba. Because we are students under continuous assessment, and so Baba is continuously watching us and see, okay, how does this child do? Did they understand anything? Are they meditating? Are they accumulating virtues? Do they know which power to use when? And how are they operating as it goes situation by situation? So this is really acting school. And all these situations come up for us actors to become skilled in handling difficult situations. And the skill is part of the powers, you see. We have to be able to not be center stage. You know, some people, unless they're center stage, they think that it's the end of the world. Yeah, but, and so then Baba will put those people in a situation where they're not center stage. And then you will be dealing all the time with people who are trying to move you out of the center stage, you know, or somebody just scared to death of being center stage. And then he'll put you in center stage all the time. You have to deal with that. You have to deal with fear, you see. Because Baba said that working with the powers requires a fearless state. So fearlessness means basically courage. And so Baba has given us a lot of these little aphorisms, little phrases that we can remember. And so when you are afraid, the phrase that comes to mind is, the child takes one step of courage and the father gives 1,000 steps of help. Correct? So as soon as you find yourself scared to death of some situation, say that. And then take a step of courage, which is basically like taking a step off a cliff and falling into an abyss, right? But then you have to have faith. Baba will, you know, put another brick in their place or something like that. You will not fall down. But it's like you have to be ready to risk taking a step of courage. If you don't take that risk, then you'll never experience the help that Baba gives. And he will say, oh, well, you're basically a dead person because you're not really alive until you take that step of courage. Is that right? Who wants to be a dead BK? We are living a life where we are dead whilst alive. And what that means is that we're not afraid to die because we're already dead. You see. So what do people get afraid of? They get afraid of dying. But if you're already dead, it's a bit difficult to be afraid of dying. So that one's already taken care of. If you process the knowledge to the point of dealing with this fear of death, you see, then what else are people afraid of? Afraid of pain, you see. So to be afraid of pain is very normal. but we have to practice handling different kinds of pain, because there's always going to be some or another pain coming along. And then you use your powers of tolerance and accommodation, and you gradually raise your threshold of pain so that a painful circumstance, a painful realization, a painful exposure or something like this, you can manage it because you have practiced. So Baba always gives us a lot of tests, and the purpose of a test, as he has mentioned very clearly, is to make you strong and to make you experienced. It has no other purpose. And so if you interpret it in any other way, then that's, you didn't understand, you see. So test comes only to make me strong, to make me experienced, because it's a rehearsal for the next one. You see, so if you fail, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because what happens when you fail is you say, oh, that didn't go very well, I better analyze what happened. You see? And that is very useful. You go back, replay your videotape of the event from many different angles, and you see, okay, what did I do in this situation which I could have done differently, I could have done better, I could have been a bit more fearless, used a different power, whatever, and then it would have gone better, right? So the purpose of failing a test is to review the situation and get clarity about how you can actually pass this test, because surely it will come again. You see, because our life is full of repeating things. Anyway, the whole 5,000-year cycle is repeating. But there's lots and lots of things that repeat, because we are dealing with sanskaras, and sanskaras are patterns, you see. And when we act in a certain way, we act that way because that's the way we always act in that situation. And then Baba is asking us to look carefully at the situation, especially if it gives you difficulty, strain, stress, pain, or confusion, because we want to look at it so carefully that we can see where to change the pattern. You see? And the only way that you can change the pattern is in the moment. And Baba has recommended to us that we develop something he calls farsightedness. So farsightedness is when you look into the future and you see the test coming from a distance. You see? You say, oh, here we go again, it's coming. Now, how do I handle it, you see? Well, first of all, you don't turn around and run away, because it's running faster than you, no matter what. And if you don't want to be hit from the back, better to deal with it face on, and you have to pre-plan how you're going to handle it, because you know that all of these things come in patterns. So it's a closely similar situation to many situations that you've had before. And the reason you fail is because you fail the same way every time. And why do you do that? Is because you don't plan it, you don't prepare yourself, you don't deal with it proactively, but more reactively. So whenever you sit and evaluate yourself, how did you do in some painful situation, it's always for the purpose of, when this similar situation comes again, I won't make this little mistake or that little mistake, but I'll do this way, you see, and then you try it out. And when the situation is coming, you'll know in advance because you have the feeling. Because before a situation comes, there's a vibration. This is, okay, it's coming now, so get ready. You have 1 second. I experience also when there are earthquakes, major earthquakes, there's a vibration beforehand, 1 second before, all the birds stop singing, and you have to pay attention because it's coming, so you have to be ready. And then you go into it rather than let it take you over. So all these tests are like that. So you go into it empowered with all your powers and with foresight and with courage, you see, and you say, Baba, you're with me now, you see. And if any time you're in a very, very difficult situation, then call Baba instantly to be with you, you see, because then you get that help. And courageously you go into the situation and you experience through that act of courage that, yes, Baba is totally with me and I don't have to worry about anything. You see, it gives you that faith. And faith is a very powerful thing, you see. And again, I'll go back to this differentiation between the conventional values, morality, and so on, which basically encourage you to be a fear-based person and to be cowardly and to expect to be punished for getting it wrong. Right? But Shrimat is a very different angle, you see. Shrimat is, doesn't matter you fail or you pass, but you'll get experienced. And you'll use a failure and turn that into something that is a helpful thing for the future. So there's nothing wrong with any of it, you see. In Baba's Gyan, there is nothing like guilt. You see, we don't do guilt in BK. You see. But people say, oh, I feel guilty. Why do you feel guilty? Well, you know, I got an opportunity which somebody else didn't get. What is that? That is not Shrimat. You can't feel guilty unless you actually do something wrong, and that too, it's only worth it for 1 second. You know, whereas the regular values say, oh, you know, you should feel guilty for at least a week. And you know, Baba will say, nonsense, you'll drain out all your energy that way. That's a complete waste of time. 1 second is the maximum required, you see. And why do you need it? It's just so that you get the point. That thing is not correct. So, okay, won't do it anymore. Simple. You see? So you see how when you look at it in certain particular areas, these ways that we have learned through conventional morality actually get in the way of our success as a BK, as a Raj Yogi. And so whenever we notice any of these areas of conflict between conventional morality and Shrimat, go for the Shrimat and actually drop that particular bit of morality, because it was invented by some limited person roughly 1,000 years ago who was in a Tamo stage in the Iron Age. So why do we need that? I don't think we need that. Do you think so? What we're trying to do is we're trying to go back 5,000 years, which you can't remember. The recorded history doesn't go back that far. So we're going forward. Shiv Baba, of course, knows it. And so he tells it. And then he puts us in situations so that we get it. But we won't be able to get it without making clear lines of demarcation. This side is Srimat. This side is a nice idea, but it's Paramat. So maybe it's not such a nice idea. Have to give it up. See? And I think you have to do it on a case-by-case basis. And so every time you find yourself in a situation where things really do not work out, try looking at it from the angle that, did I handle this from the angle of conventional morality, or did I handle it from the angle of Srimat? Try to make the distinction between the two, and mostly you will find that, you know, one of the things conventional morality says is no matter what, you have to be polite. Is that right? Very polite people, right? You have to be polite. That means you have to be polite so someone can abuse you because you're polite. Is that right? Yes. Now, Srimat doesn't say you have to be polite to everybody under all circumstances. Srimat says you have to distinguish what's going on and you have to take a powerful action, which may go against the grain because you're used to being polite and letting somebody walk over you. Yes? Right. You want to carry on like that? No. Yes? No. So, that means you have to be very precise with your truth so that you're not aggressive, you're not rude, but you get the right thing done and you don't get manipulated by the attitude that, well, I have to be polite and therefore I cannot defend myself against an attack. Correct? No. You have to be so skillful that you can defend yourself against an attack so skillfully that the other party doesn't even know how you manage to stay not in a trap. Do you see what I'm saying? So that requires a power of discrimination. And, you know, there's a very good expression that you hear occasionally in the Murli, which I like a lot. They say, kill the snake without breaking the stick. Now here in Gyan Sarovar, if you are here around the monsoon, you will see lots of cobras. And so, India is the land of cobras. And you've also seen the mongoose, the long-tailed, about this long creature that runs quickly. That's the only one that can catch the cobras. So the two are together, otherwise there'd be too many. But, you know, to kill a snake, you have to hit once with a stick with the right amount of force in the right place and only once. And don't break the stick, so it has to be not too hard. I see. Now, in conventional morality, it doesn't say that you have to be precise. It says you have to go one side, and however strongly you go, go. But in Gyan, it's not. It's very precise. Not too much, not too little. Exactly the right amount of whatever it is. See? So the precision is very important. For that, we have to be focused, skillful, sensitive, and we have to be fearless. Any of you done acupuncture? The acupuncturist has to stick the needle in somebody's head strongly, right? So it goes right through the skull. You have to do it strongly. right amount. It's a needle this long that go through your head. I see. So if you do it too less, it won't go through. If you do it too strongly, you'll bruise the person. You see. So it's really about that, you know, in the conventional way, the moral way, you know, too much is okay, not enough, doesn't matter, or not enough is okay, too much doesn't matter. It's not precise. And so when you are fearless and skillful and fast, you see, then you're really dancing with Baba, doing everything with Baba like that, because time is getting faster and we have to do the things right. Otherwise we get tumbled, you know, and then our dignity goes away. So it's all about skill. Skill on your inner world, skill interacting with the brothers and sisters, skill interacting with the tests, skill interacting with the rumors, with so many different things. We have to be just right. Yes? So, time is almost over. If anybody has a question, we have 5 minutes. Does anybody have a question? Diplomacy. Well, diplomacy has different meanings in India and different meaning outside of India. And this is the wonder, the English language is spoken by more people in India than in England, which is a bit problematic for me. But anyway, very often in India, if you say somebody's diplomatic, what you mean is that they are engaging in intrigue. You see. In India, this word intrigue is never used. They don't use it here. But intrigue means that you are fooling around and doing things dishonestly. So in India, the word diplomacy applies to that. Whereas in England, where I come from, diplomacy means that you are using your language and your behavior carefully so that you do not offend somebody, but it doesn't involve any manipulation. So the two are actually quite different. And so what I do, I had a couple of sisters who came to visit me today from India, and it was a question of translating from Marathi into English without going through Hindi. And they used some words. They used obsequies. You've probably never heard of obsequies. It's a word that went out of use about 300 years ago. And so I said, shall we look at it in the dictionary? What is this word obsequies? And it's a funeral. You see, so I said, is this what you mean? She said, no, I don't mean that. So I said, well, what do you mean? And then she gave me a Hindi word, which was really very, very different. But this is actually a huge problem nowadays, that English language is used very differently by different people in different parts of the world. For example, where English is spoken all the time, like in Australia, in United States, in England, in Canada, you know, there's a vast difference in how English is used in these four countries, but you would be surprised, but it is. And so when we are using a word, doesn't have to be an English word, any word, we have to really make sure with each other, do we use this word with the same meaning? And so sometimes it's a good idea to just describe or define your terminology, because otherwise if we don't do that, you get huge misunderstandings, which is a big opportunity for Maya. And so it's very, very important to notice if there's a funny vibration in your communication. Consider that as a sign that you are using words differently from the other person. And because of that, the communication is breaking down. So the whole subject of communication is a huge one, and use of language and everything. So, but we can't do that now because we only have 1 minute before our meditation. But we have enough time. I saw another hand up somewhere. Yes, please. You have to speak loudly. What is the difference between? What is the difference between a virtue and a power? Just very quickly, a virtue is like a flower, and a power is like a gun. So, we have to be virtuous, we have to be sweet, kind, gentle, generous, etc. Daddy Janki very often uses the analogy of the rose, you see. And a rose has thorns to defend itself. So if you're a very virtuous person and you don't have any thorns, then Om Shanti, you get squashed. So we have to be virtuous, but if we don't have powers, then we're not able to protect ourselves. You see, so as much as we are loving, that much we have to be lawful. Yeah, as much as we are delicate and gentle and sensitive and able to have a direct experience of God, that much we have to be powerful. And, you know, these goddesses that are seen in India, the Shaktis, they got heavy-duty weapons. And they are our memorial, you see. So we have to really think about these symbols and make sure that we have the face, which is beautiful and soft and gentle, and we have swords and tridents and these Swadarshan chakras, all these discus and everything, that we can protect ourselves. And also the currency in our relationship, our exchange, is mutually beneficial acts, you know. So, let us stop here and thank you very much for your kind attention. And we will have half an hour meditation. Om Shanti.